Yes, Lord, we come to worship you because you're worthy, because you are the Lord, and you are the only Lord. You're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you're worthy of our worship, Lord, and we bow before you, Lord, not because we're forced to, but because of your love for us, we're compelled to, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, that he came and gave his life and that he is alive today, and all your blessings that you so richly pour out on us, Lord. We cannot help but to worship you, and we thank you for your faithful love. Thank you for embracing us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for calling us into relationship with you. Thank you for all that you have given and all that you will give. Lord, we know that you love us. Lord God, we love you. Thank you for providing our every need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we are bowed in your presence, Lord, because we adore you and we want to give homage to you. And we do indeed thank you for all that you've done. Lord, we're thankful for your people who have gathered here today and those who have not gathered but may have wanted to. And even those who didn't want to, Lord, we pray especially for them, Lord. And we thank you for providing all that is needed, oh God. Thank you for giving us and giving them health and strength and energy to make it day by day over the past week, and giving in times when we may not have felt that we could make it, Lord. You enabled us to get up and be on our way, oh God, and to be in our right minds. Oh, Lord, we're thankful for all the little things that you do that we sometimes don't think about, that we don't recognize at times, Lord, but we want to be still right now and take the time to say thank you and honor you and just say that we love you and acknowledge that you are God. You're the one who so richly provides for us, Lord, and you know your people. You know where they are. You know where they are in their hearts. Oh, Lord, we see on the outside, but you see us from the inside out, oh, God, and you know where the needs are, Lord. You know what we're wrestling with. You know what's frustrating us. You know what's bothering us, Lord God. You know our journey, Lord. You set us on this journey, and we thank you that you're the one who provides along the way. And so, Lord, teach us your ways today that we might know you, that we may serve you aright, and that we may adore you as we journey from here to being with you. Lord, on that day, Lord, we'll give you the praise. But we start now. And we start now with praising you, Lord. And would you open our eyes that we might behold wonderful things from your word. Lord, teach us and shape us and mold us, reprove, rebuke, and correct us that we may be fully equipped for every good work, for your glory and for the good of others. For our good, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Good afternoon, church. Amen. It's great to be here, isn't it? It is. It's good to be here to worship the Lord together. You taking the children, Sister Banks? Sister Banks is taking children with her today. Amen. Amen. I do want to reiterate that our homegoing service for Reverend Jenkins will be here on Saturday. If you have not received the word, I'm sure most people have, but it'll be here on Saturday. 10 o'clock will be the viewing, 10 to 11. Then 11 o'clock, the service will begin. And so we thank you for all the support that you provided to Sister Jenkins, and I ask that you continue to pray for her, and thank you all for all of you that will be able to contribute for the repast. We thank you for that as well. Amen. 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 Turn with me, if you would, to Ruth. To Ruth, the gospel according to Ruth. And today I want to spend a few minutes on some introductory statements from the book of Ruth, and then we'll continue and dive more into it, second chapter next time. Got it? Ruth chapter 2. Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in the field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Amen. Amen. You know, the NIV here says that Boaz was a man of standing. In other translations, it says that he was a wealthy man and that he was well-to-do. He was well-off, and that'll come into play as we walk through the rest of the chapter. But I wonder, and I've entitled the message from the second chapter of Ruth, "God favors me." God favors me. And you can put your name in there. God favors me. Because if you walk through and read through the second chapter, what we find is that Ruth and Naomi definitely experienced the favor of God. The favor of God. And I think that's one of the main things the Lord wants us to hear. Because everything that was written in the past was written for our instruction. But God wants to hear that he does favor us. Have you, though, ever been in a place in your life when you wondered whether God was for you or against you? Naomi certainly did. Have you ever been in a place where there was a need in your life and you wondered whether that need would or could be met? Have you ever been so low, felt so bad, been so worn out that you wondered if you'd ever get out of the hole that you found yourself in? Well, the Lord demonstrated his favor toward Ruth and Naomi after a tragic season in their lives. And you know the story by now. Chapter 1 is Act 1 in their story, that they went through a tragic experience. They lost the men in their lives. Naomi lost her husband and her boys. Ruth lost her husband, but they found their way back to Bethlehem. And it was there, it was when they came back, that the Lord began to demonstrate his favor toward Ruth and Naomi after the tragic season in their lives. After a great loss, we'll find that there came abundant blessing. After weeping and much mourning, no doubt, came a flood of joy. How did the Lord provide for Naomi and Ruth? And how does the Lord provide for us, his people, even after we go through? Because one of the things we mentioned is that we do go through. We are not exempt from going through the problems and experiencing the frustrations and going through the pains of life and experiencing loss in our lives. That's part and parcel of the Christian life. It's what the Lord has allowed us to go through. But what we want to do, our objective, is to be able to live by faith in the Lord no matter what we're going through, to live by faith in the Lord with the hope of seeing the Lord's providential hand at work in our lives. In the midst of what we're going through, in the midst of what might be tragedy, what might be pain, what might be loss, we want to be able to experience, we want to be able to see the providential hand of God in our lives and to experience his destiny, to know that he's going to take us where he's taking us. that he is going to get us there. Ruth and Naomi, they couldn't see it at the time. They couldn't see the road ahead, but they understood this, at least Naomi did. She understood that the Lord was still a part of their lives, that the Lord was still involved, that the Lord was still engaged. And as the story unfolds, they began to see more and more the providential hand of God in their lives. And that's what God wants from us. He wants us to learn the lesson that Ruth and Naomi learned, that God is at work, that he is providential, that he works when we don't think he's working. He's the unseen catalyst that is at work doing what he's doing to take us where he wants us to go. How does God demonstrate his favor towards his people? Well, the main point for today in our introductory statement is this. The Lord demonstrates favor to his people through his providence. The Lord demonstrates favor to his people through his providence. Through his providence. Well, how is that? Well, providence, and you've heard the word providence before, no doubt. But when we're talking about providence, providence is God looking ahead. It's God seeing ahead, seeing the road that you must travel and that I must travel and that we will travel, the road that he, in essence, sets us on. God, it's God seeing, God looking ahead, seeing the road that we must travel and making sure that we have what we need every step of the journey and that we get to his appointed destiny. That is simply the providence of God. God seeing ahead, God knowing the road that we have to travel, God knowing every experience that we're going to go through, and God providing what we need every step of the way. He gets there before we do. Abraham understood Yahweh to be the great provider, didn't he? When asked by Isaac, where was the lamb for the sacrifice? What was his response? His response was Jehovah Jireh. His response was the Lord will provide the lamb. He would have said to Isaac, you can't see it, Isaac. I don't see it right now, but I know he knew God. And he said, I know that the Lord sees and he is going to provide. And simply stated, church, this should be our response. Whenever we are faced with questions, and this one thing we want to walk away with today is when we're faced with questions that have to do with apparent deficiencies in our lives or situations that find us in need, knowing that God indeed favors us, our response should be too, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide because God knew in eternity past. That's the perspective that he wants us to have on him, that he knew in eternity past. He knew where you'd be. He knew where you were going to be right now in your journey. He knew what you were going to go through. He knew the tragedy that you'd face. He knew the problems you couldn't solve. He knew the frustrations you'd experience. He knew and he knows. God sees ahead. He knows where you're going, and he'll meet you there with the ram in the bush. And that's what he wants us to see and to know about him. Act 2 in the story of Naomi and Ruth's saga begins on a high note. Begins on a high note. What high note is that? Well, the high note is that it starts with Naomi had a relative on her husband's side. That's a high note, and we'll talk about that in a minute. We see the providential hand of God at work from the very beginning. God shines the light on that. It doesn't begin with Ruth or Naomi. Notice that about verse 1? Doesn't begin with Ruth or Naomi, but it begins with this man named Boaz. Boaz. Why? Why is the fact that he's a kinsman of Naomi highlighted? Said Naomi had a kinsman. Name was Boaz. Why is that highlighted? Why is the fact that he's a very wealthy man? And again, we insert in there wealthy. He was a wealthy man. He was well-to-do. He owned land. He had servants. That's first. The Spirit of God had the writer Ruth highlight that. Why is the fact that he's very wealthy highlighted? Because the Lord wants us to see himself. He wants us to see himself as the beginning point, as the initiator, as the source, as the generous provider for his people through the actions, through the attitudes, and through the character of Boaz. Through Boaz, we see God as the great provider. He wants us to understand and hold on to the fact that our transitions out of our losses and out of our pains and out of our suffering, out of our leanness of soul, out of our sin, he wants us to see that all of that begins with him. It begins with him, not with us. The Lord, our provider. Well, how does the Lord provide? Well, one, the Lord provides out of his relationship with us. The Lord provides out of his relationship with us. And again, as I said before, and I'll say it again, Boaz is highlighted in verse 1 as a kinsman. As a kinsman. The text says that Naomi had a relative on her husband's side. He was from the clan of Elimelech. Boaz is highlighted as a kinsman. And later on in chapter 2 and chapter 3 especially, we'll talk about kinsman redeemer. But right now, it's just talking about him being a kinsman, him being a relative. We'll flesh that out later on. But he is introduced as the kinsman of Naomi because he would be the one through whom the Lord would provide all that Naomi and Ruth needed. All that Naomi and Ruth needed, it would be this relative that would provide for him. You know, I thought about the fact that children are taken care of by parents, right? Many of us in here are parents. They're taken care of by parents and guardians because of their relationship with them. Children don't always do right, but we always take care of them. Nobody in here has ever neglected their child because they didn't do right, because they didn't measure up. We provide because we have a relationship with them, and we have a responsibility towards them because of that relationship with them. And that's what the Lord wants us to see, that here, Boaz had a relationship with Naomi. And they didn't know about it. They didn't know, and we'll find that out, that they didn't know that she was going to go to the land, to the field of Boaz. But God knew that. God knew that, and he wanted us to see himself, that he's the one who has a relationship with us. Because in Scripture, Jesus is highlighted as our kinsman. Jesus is your kinsman if you've accepted Christ. Jesus is our kinsman, just as Boaz was kinsman to Naomi and Ruth. Scripture also tells us that God is Father to all who have put their trust in him as Savior and Lord. He's Father. He's Father. We have a relationship with him. In 1 John 3:1, it says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Father. Father God has lavished on us. We have a father-son or father-daughter relationship with God. The Lord provides out of his relationship with us. He cares for his children. He loves his children. He always provides for his children. He provides for us through and because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is highlighted in Scripture. Yes, he's highlighted as our Lord. He's highlighted as our Savior, but, excuse me, he's also highlighted as our elder brother, our elder brother. And again, relationship. We have a relationship with him. In Hebrews 2:11, it says, "For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren." Jesus is not, if we put our trust and faith in him, he's not ashamed to call us his brothers and his sisters. And again, the point being, church, is that relationship. We have a relationship with him. We're connected with him. We're part of the Lord's family, and it is out of that relationship that the Lord provides. It was out of the relationship that Boaz had with Naomi that we'll find out that the Lord provided. But not only that, church, not only does the Lord provide out of his relationship with us, because of his relationship with us, simply speaking, the Lord also provides out of his riches, out of his riches. Boaz was a man, as we stated, of great wealth. Boaz was a man of great wealth. And again, the fact that the Spirit of God had the writer Ruth put it first, I think he's shining a light on that fact, that Naomi had a relationship with Boaz, and Boaz was a rich man. And that will come into play. Boaz was a man of great wealth. He had much. He had an abundance. And as the story unfolds, we'll see that it is indeed through Boaz that the temporal needs of Naomi and Ruth are met. That the temporal needs of Naomi and Ruth are met. And the riches of God are available for meeting the temporal needs of his people. The riches of God are available for meeting the temporal needs of his people. And I know a lot of emphasis is placed on this today, and I think it's too much. I think it's over the top, and I think that that's not the main point of God talking about how much he has and the fact that he owns it all, because the scripture does say that. It says that God owns it all. He owns everything. And he gives us what we need out of his abundance. God is not lacking in anything. And God doesn't lack in being able to give us what we need. Psalm 50, verses 7 through 15. I wanted to turn to that and read that. Psalm 50. Psalm 50 says, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I do not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are ever before me. I have no need of a bull from your stall or of goats from your pens." I don't need that, God says. I don't need that. "For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills, they're mine. They belong to God. I know every bird in the mountains, and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. Why not? For the world is mine. It belongs to me, and all that is in it." He said, if I were hungry. God doesn't get hungry. But he says, if he were hungry, he wouldn't have to tell anybody, because everything belongs to him. Everything belongs to him. Did I say through 15? Yes, I said through 15. "If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Sacrifice thank offerings to God, fulfill your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in a day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me." The Bible says that everything belongs to God. The riches of God are available for his people. The riches of Boaz become available through the providence of God for Naomi and for Ruth. And I thought about too, Romans 8:32. It seemed like I say this a lot, or quote this a lot. Romans 8:32. "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" Father God gave God the Son, and he says, if I gave my Son to die on the cross for your sins, don't you know that everything else that you need, I am going to provide? I'm the great provider, and I got your back. I have what you need. I have what you need. I thought about Philippians 4, 19 through 20. "My God will supply all of your needs." Paul was writing to the church at Philippi, and he said, "My God." But you know what I thought about? He said, "My God." He didn't say, "Your God," even though he was their God. He said, "My God." I think the Apostle Paul thought about the relational aspect of him and the Lord. I think he thought about the fact that God didn't belong to him, but he belonged to God. And he had that relationship with God. And because of that, he had that confidence that my God is going to supply everything that you need. He's certainly going to supply what I need, but I want you to understand that my God, my relationship with him, that he is going to supply what you need. It's personal. It's relationship. And out of that relationship, out of his riches, God supplies according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And that's what he wants us to understand. That's what he wants us to get simply out of this first verse. And that's why he highlights Boaz first, is that I think God is showing the spotlight, shining the spotlight on himself. That instead of thinking about our deficiencies first, we need to think about him first. See, the riches of God, the riches that God pours out on his children. Second thing I wanted to say under that and run on. The riches of God, the riches that God pours out on his children is more about the spiritual treasures lavished on us in Christ than merely the treasures that fade away and wear out. The riches that God pours out on his children is more about the spiritual treasures that he lavished on us in Christ than the earthly treasures that fade away and wear out. And even as we continue to walk through the story of Ruth and Naomi, we'll see that, yeah, they were in great need temporally, but it's those spiritual riches and the relationship that comes out, that comes through, that comes to the forefront. Ephesians 1, 1, 3 through 7. Ephesians 1, 3 through 7. Ephesians 1, 3 through 7 says, praise God, praise be to God, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every spiritual blessing, everything that God has decided to give to us. Not talking about temporal, but talking about those spiritual blessings that we have because of Christ, his death and resurrection. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, the richness of God. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight in love. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with the pleasure of his will. That's out of his riches, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely has given us in the one he loves, his grace that he's freely given us. In him we have redemption, that's out of his richness through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, that's rich, church, in accordance with the riches of his grace. See, God has poured out his riches on us. Out of his relationship towards us, God has poured out his richness on us. And the richness that we'll talk about more has to do with what he's done for us in Christ. And I thought about that word lavish, even thinking about Boaz being so wealthy and Boaz having abundance. God talks about his lavishness that he poured. When you talk about someone lavishing something on you, they're pouring it out on you. It's excess. It's over the top. It's over the top. And that's how God wants to see him, as one who has poured out his love for us to that degree. Even our vacation, I thought about our vacation Bible school theme verse, 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4. Doesn't it say the same thing? I think it points us in the same direction. His divine power has given us everything we need. Everything we need to live godly lives, for life and godliness. God's divine power, it refers to living a godly life, a life that pleases God, a life that is used by God for his glory, our good, and the good of others. So that could happen, God has lavished, he has poured out, he has done it in excess. He has done it in excess. God doesn't want us to get trapped in the tragic teaching out there today about that God's riches are about making you rich in the things of this age. It's not. God's riches are about making you into the person he created you to be. His riches are about the abundance of forgiveness we have through Jesus Christ. His riches are about him redeeming us from a life destined for destruction and taking us into the abundant life that we have in Christ. Can God provide all that you need? No ifs, ands, buts about it. But that's not the main point of Scripture, and it's certainly not the main point of the Spirit of God putting the fact that Boaz was a man of great standing, was a man of great riches. God used that. God used him in the life of Naomi and Ruth, but he had so much more to give him, give to them. Listen, church, our transition from tragedy to triumph begins with the Lord. It begins with the Lord. That is his favor towards us through his providence. His favor towards us through his providence. It doesn't matter where you are right now. I can't tell you where God is taking you, but he knows where he's taking you. He knows that. See, the providence of God has to do with his meticulous involvement in the lives of his people to care for us along our journey through life and bring us to his appointed end. That's what was happening in the lives of Ruth and Naomi. God was bringing them to his appointed end for them, what he wanted to do in them and through them, and Boaz had a large part to play in that. And through Boaz, God wanted us to see himself, and that's why he put him first. That's why he said what he said about Boaz first. See, if God wants you to get somewhere, he's going to orchestrate the circumstances of your life to get you where he wants to take you. He's going to orchestrate the circumstances of your life to get you where he wants to take you. And we know how Naomi was feeling at the end of chapter 1, don't we? She said, why are you calling me Naomi? Pleasant. You know, call me Mara. Bitter. My life has been bitter. God has dealt bitterly with me. But then at the end of chapter 1, it says they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of what? Of the harvest, of the barley harvest. So God was, even in that timing, we see God orchestrating their lives to bring them back, to bring them back to Bethlehem just at that time. And we'll see in our next message how it just, he puts it all together and brings them to the exact place that that Ruth needed to be in order for God to put it all together. What we have to remember is that the Lord himself is our provider. He is the one that's over it all, and he is the one that's providing for it all. Don't just see Boaz there as being wealthy. No, don't see the Lord. See the Lord himself. We have to remember that the Lord himself is our provider. He may use people like he used Boaz. He may use people as to be the medium through which the provision is made or favor is shown, but it is him, it is he himself who is the unseen catalyst making sure that things are set in motion. He provides for us out of his relationship with us and out of the riches that he has. I wonder if you see God that way. I wonder if you see him as a God who is rich, who has all that we need, and that because of our relationship with him, he is going to provide what we need. You know what I found out? One thing I found out even about me as I'm working this out is that it's a lot more easier for me to talk about chapter 1. Hear me now. Chapter 1 than going into chapter 2. Because chapter 1 focuses on the downside, the hard times, the stuff that we go through. And we talk about the Lord being with us, but then chapter 2, it turns the corner. And it starts talking about the richness of God. It starts talking about the provision of God. It starts talking about how God, again, orchestrates things and brings things back together, brings us to where he wants us to be. And I think one thing he wants us to understand is that he has that relationship with us. And it is out of that relationship with us that God will richly bless us and give us what we need, because he is the source of our provision. And we must be ever cognizant that it is He, that it is He. Sometimes we don't give God the credit that He is due. We think it's us, or people think it's them, but it's God. It's God behind the scenes, and we ought to praise Him. We ought to worship Him and understand, even as we sung this morning, Jesus at the center of it all. Is He really at the center of our thinking about life? Do we really see Him at the core? Do we really understand that He is orchestrating things, bringing them together, that He is behind the scenes working it all out? God is often left out when people think or talk about where their help comes from or what they're going through in life. And people wonder, well, why has God done this to me? Well, why has God allowed this to happen? And I ask the question, why not? Why not? We're not exempt. We're going to go through, but we want to look at Act 2. Act 2 is Boaz on the scene. Act 2 is God on the scene. And as children of God, we must be ever mindful to praise Him and to thank Him with the fruit of our lips, as Hebrews tells us, recognizing that He provides. The Lord provides for us. He is the one who cares for us. And may we remember that as we go into this week and as we seek to do His will, as we seek to follow Him. Amen. 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 Won't you bow with me in prayer? Great God, our Father, we thank You. We thank You that You are first. We're grateful for Your providential care for us. We're thankful, Lord, to know that You are the one who is uppermost in Scripture. We pray that You will help us to see You, not just to see what was taking place in the life of Boaz and Ruth and Naomi, oh God, but that we will see what's taking place in our own lives. Wherever we might be, oh God, help us to see You and help us to know that You are the one who is behind the scenes, and yet You're the one who goes ahead of us. And You're the one who is with us as we walk through our journey in life. Lord, we thank You for the relationship that we have with You through Christ. We thank You for the riches that You have and the richness of Your grace towards us. And Lord, we want to experience that grace all the more. And Father, I pray for anyone here who is not experiencing that grace, those who are down, those who are low, those who are frustrated and bewildered with their lives. Lord, I pray that You would be highlighted in their lives, even as Boaz was highlighted in the life of Naomi and Ruth. And I pray, Lord, that we would trust in You and know that You are going to make the way, that You will go ahead of us, and that along our journey, that You are the one who provides, who goes ahead, the one who makes sure that we have what we have. So we thank You, Lord, and we love You, Lord, today. You be exalted, You be honored, You be praised. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Is there anyone here today who has never trusted the Lord, our great provider, the one who is overall, the one who provides all that we need? Anyone here today who has never trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior of our lives, having that relationship with Him begins trusting who He is and trusting what He's done for us. The Lord has given His life for us. Jesus came, He died, He gave much, and that much was His life. He gave His life, took on all our sins. He died, the Bible tells us, and He rose again on the third day. And if there's anyone here today who has never trusted Him, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Anyone here today, man, woman, boy, or girl? Anyone here today, man, woman, boy, or girl? Amen, amen, church. Let us follow him this week. Amen. Amen. Won't you stand with me? Won't you stand with me? Now to our great God, the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, be glory and honor, dominion and power, henceforth, now and forevermore. Let the Church of Jesus Christ together sing.
Amen.
Amen, church, amen. What's going on?
Don't forget, I need all the men to stay around for a couple of minutes, please.
All the men.